Hey, Chris Kapp, you're back.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think you were in class last week.
I was, but it was something wrong with my screen.
Oh, it's all fixed now, huh?
Yeah, my mom helped me.
Did you do the homework for
Yes.
that week?
Yes.
You did.
And this week also.
Okay, I'll put that down now. Anybody else? Yeah, you were all here last week. Yes, all these smiling faces. Bear Brothers. Hello, Bear Brothers.
Hello,
Hello,
Father.
Father.
You know what? I made a list of reasons why I'm a fan, not a fan of Mater Dei High School. I made a list of reasons why I'm a fan, not a fan of Servite. And I compared the two lists. And I have decided to, even though historically this is not the case, I have decided to be a fan of Servite.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah, the big reason is because modern day's religion is not good. They kicked out the Norbertines. We had been teaching religion for 50 years. They kicked us out some years ago. But Servite has good religion. They foster good moral values. Spirit is as good as it gets in high school in Orange County. So those are, there's a lot more to it than that, but that's basically why I have switched my allegiance to Servite. Okay.
Thank you, Father. I'm going to be
You're
an alumni there next year.
gonna what you're going there next year?
I'm going there as a freshman next year.
Oh no. There were three of you. And then two of you, and next year there's gonna be one of you. Peter, you're gonna keep the tradition going, huh?
Yes, Father Francis.
All right, well, a servite will get another good young man. And you know, I help out at St. Martin de Porres, and that's in Yorba Linda, that's not far from Servite, and that's one of the feeding schools into Servite. And I've met some of the young men that go there or have gone there, they seem like fine young men. Yeah, so you'll be part of that next year. And your brother, will he be a senior next year or what?
Yes, Father Francis.
He'll be a senior, Father Francis.
He's a senior, you'll be a freshman. Okay. All right. We got a full house now. I'm gonna start seeing who did the homework. I'm going to go in order, so I'll start with the A's. Mary Grace, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
You weren't here last week, right?
No, Father Francis, but I watched the recording and I did the homework.
Okay, so you're all caught up. Okay, Akina's. Gianna, did you do the homework? I can't hear you, Diana. I saw your lips.
Father Francis, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I did the homework.
Good. Justice.
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
Jedediah.
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
I heard you, I didn't see you. Jonah.
Yes, Father Francis, I did the homework.
Okay. Joseph Baer, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Peter.
Yes, Father Francis.
I don't see Madeline yet. Or Emiliana. I don't see the Essers, right? No Essers. Abraham Gallardo, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
I don't see the Garcias. I got Chris Cap. I don't see the Lathams. Let's try. No, I don't see Sarah Leach. Oh, there she is. Sarah, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
And now I see the Essers. I did see the Essers. Wait, there they are. Essers. Marianne, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
And Angelica, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Did you do the homework for the last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, because yes, you weren't here last week, right?
We couldn't be here last week because we had state testing.
Okay. Did Teresa do both weeks?
Yes, Father Francis.
Okay. All right. And Emiliana is, her name is on the screen. I don't see her. Emiliana, can you hear me? There she is. I see you now. Emiliana, talk to us. Did you do the homework? Emiliana, did you do the homework? Emiliana, did you do the homework?
Sorry, yes, I did, Father Francis.
Okay, you got that working. Where did we leave off? We were at Sarah Leach. Rachel, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Garrison, I see your name. I don't see you, but hopefully you're with us. Are the Prezes here? Prez. Any Prezes? No. Santanas, are they with us? No. Oh, there's two Perez's. Okay, well, let's start with the ones I see. Liliana, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
And Melina, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Is Diego there?
Yeah, he'll be right there, but he did do the homework.
Okay. And how about Eric? Nope, that's not. Okay, sorry. All right, Santana's, I don't see him. Cameron Sorrell? No. Okay, Annalise, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Is Joseph Wilde there? Joseph Wilde, I don't see you. But I see the Lathams. Julia, did you do the homework?
Yes, she did.
And Rebecca?
No, Father Francis.
Uh-oh. Okay, you can make up for it next week when we review. How did I skip Claire Gomez? How did I skip you? How did that happen? Claire, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Okay. And Riley is still not on. Anybody else? Anyone who didn't get, Joseph, did you do the homework?
Yes. Yes, Father Francis.
Okay. Were you here last week?
Yes, I was, Father Francis, and I did the homework.
Okay, good. Okay, anybody else whose name did not get mentioned?
Father Francis, the Rivas family's here.
Oh, yep. Alicia.
He's in class right now. They changed his schedule, so he's stuck in there. But yes, Father Francis.
Were you here last week?
Yes. The kids were, I wasn't, I had a doctor's appointment, but yes, they were here, but they didn't do the homework last week, but this week they did.
Okay. Okay, got it. Bethany, did you do the homework? Bethany, did you do the homework?
Yes, Paul Francis.
Mara, did you do the homework? Was that a yes?
Yes.
Aaron, did you do the homework?
Speak again, baby.
Yes, Paul Francis.
Good. Anybody else who did not get called? Looks like I got everybody now. All right. And I'll get Abigail out of the house. You could stay where you're at. We'll say a short prayer and then announcement. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So last week I gave the schedule. I'll do it again. Today's our last class for new material. Next week, April 29th, and then the following Thursday, May 6th, there'll be 2 weeks of reviewing, okay? 2 weeks to review, and then May 13th is the oral exam. So after this class, start preparing for the oral exam, okay? You don't need to have the review to prepare for the exam. Some of you, if you've been telling me every week what you learned, you can just take all that and put it together and you got your review, okay? But you can do whatever you want. You can tell me whatever you want as long as you learned it, as long as you didn't know it before this school year started, okay? And then the massive party is May 20th. We're going to finish a week early. We started a week late and we finished a year early. We'll finish on the Feast of St. Bernardine of Siena. Now, regarding St. Michael's Abbey, the new improved abbey, lots going on. Number one, our Dominican sisters that live with us, they're moving out of the guest rooms and into their convent. It's like four times bigger than what they've been in since, I think, the early 80s. They've been crammed in this small building. Now they got two floors. They got a nice, beautiful convent. And that some of the seminarians and priests are helping them to move into their convent this week. So by the end of this week, they're all moved in. So that's exciting for them, especially. Now, regarding our new church, lots going on. I told you about the crucifix that got put in. I told you about the beautiful tabernacle, big tabernacle, about this big. That's inside the church. I don't know what you'd call that. It's not an altar or a podium, but whatever it is that's holding up the tabernacle. Sarah, you have a question? Sarah.
What time is the final exam?
Oh, good question. I'm going to say 8:30. I'll put that down now. That's normally when I don't think that's going to change. 8:30 will be the beginning of the exam. If I'm doing Mass, I'll do it after the Mass. Mass is at 8.
You guys should raise your hand and ask about how long.
Put that one. Thank you for that question, Sarah.
Okay, so,
yes? Yes?
How long does the, are we required to talk?
For the exam?
Yeah.
Oh, you've never done this, huh? You've never done the Father Francis oral exam?
We did it last time, but we forgot how long.
Oh, how long you speak.
Yeah.
Oh, that. Let's see here. So if you're 5 to 6 years old, it's a half a minute. If you're 7 to 8 years old, it's a minute. If you're 9 to 10 years old, it's a minute and a half. If you're 11 to 12, it's 2 minutes. If you're 13 to 14 years old, 3 minutes. 15 to 16 years old, then it's 4 minutes. If you're 17 to 18, it's 5 minutes. Okay?
Thank you, Father Francis.
Hey, I see the Santanas. Santanas. Andrew, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Luke.
Yes, Father Francis.
Come on, baby. Sophia, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Claire, did you do the homework?
Yes, Father Francis.
Okay, back to the Abbey Church. Okay, so the tabernacle is in the church where it's going to be, and it's in its final resting place. What's also new is we have the baptismal font, 2 tons of limestone. The top part of it is polished. When you hit it with your finger, it makes a nice ringing sound. So that's in. Also, all the side altars, the main altar, all the altars in our church are assembled. They're in place. And now if there's any little dents, any chips, that's being filled in. But the main thing going on in the church, the communion rail is being put up. Okay. We're separating the sanctuary from the rest of the church. Also, Father Gregory, our first homeschool priest, the one who's really handy, he can do anything. He is doing the woodwork inside the church where the confessionals are. You know, where you go in and out, beautiful dark wood, he's doing that. Anything else, altars. One of the side chapels is the Chapel of St. Francis, named after my patron. And I saw the paintings that are going to be painted in that side chapel. There's 6 side chapels in the main church, and where it's white, that's where it's going to have paintings. Okay. One of the paintings in the Chapel of St. Francis is St. Francis receiving the stigmata. So I may be saying mass there every once in a while. So those are the main things going on in the Abbey. Oh, I met Gideon. I don't think I told you about Gideon. Gideon is our new dog. He's a puppy. He's got big paws. He's going to be a gigantic dog and be able to take down a cougar, a mountain lion. Okay, so Gideon is going to protect the pigs, any other animals that we get. He's going to protect them from mountain lions, any predator, you know, coyotes. Okay, so Gideon is a new addition to our Abbey. That's it. Okay, we're ready for class. This is the last one for new information. On the handout I gave you at the beginning of the year, I had one title for this class. I've changed it a few times. On the handout that you're going to get, it says Divine Mercy. That's what it says in your handout, but that's not what it says on the board. I changed it again. This says heavenly mercy. Why did I change it from divine mercy to heavenly mercy? Well, this board has to do with divine mercy. God the Father's mercy, God the Son's mercy, God the Holy Spirit's mercy. This board zeroes in on redemptive mercy. Jesus' spiritual works of mercy, seven of them. I didn't put preserve, okay? But the seven traditional spiritual works of mercy, how he fulfilled those during his three-year public ministry and on the cross. Okay, so that's Roman numeral number two. Roman numeral one, you know, the triangle, that means the Trinity. Roman numeral number two, Jesus, that has to do with divine mercy, but this doesn't. This is angelic mercy, something we don't talk about. The poor angels, the holy angels, they get bumped off. I'm a big fan of Vatican II. I think I taught a whole year on Vatican II. I wish I could go back and just read it personally, not as a teacher, but just personally. I don't have time. But one weakness of Vatican II is this. Vatican II is on the church. It's a beautiful treatment on the church. The church within, the Trinity, hierarchy, like the Pope, bishops, priests, deacons, that's a big thing, the deacons, and then the lay people, the religious, so that's the church within, and then the church in relation to the Orthodox, the Protestants, Jews, Muslims, other religions, no religions, the church in relation to the world, but it leaves out the angels. It doesn't include the angels in the church. I almost did that with mercy. I was coming to the end of the year, I'm all done, and that's when I realized I didn't cover the angels. I almost pulled a Vatican II, okay? Woo! So that's because of this, I had to change this. So this is now the mercy in heaven. It includes the Trinity, heaven coming down to earth, Jesus here up on earth, but it's also the angels, the holy angels, not the wicked ones, okay? Angelic mercy. So that's Roman numeral number one, number two. Number three, here we go. The Trinity. The Trinity in general. We don't think this way, we think in time, but for God, it's just one eternal work of mercy. We can't think that way, all right? For us, thinking in time, we experience or we learn about one act of mercy after another, innumerable divine works of mercy. That's how we see it. Okay? Why did I do this? I think this has to go here. I'm trying to figure out why I put this here. I don't know why I did that. But for now, I'm going to put this down here with B, with C, Jesus's mercy on the cross. All of us have essentially experienced the same mercy from God, the same. Jesus came down, God the Son came down to earth for all of us, and he desires that all of us get to heaven. He paid the same price for each one of us. So it's his mercy is essentially the same for all. But each one of us is unique, unrepeatable. Each of us has unique, unrepeatable miseries. Some more, some less. Actual miseries, potential miseries that God spares us from. He preserves us from those miseries. Okay. So in another way, not essentially, but accidentally, God shows unique, unrepeatable mercy towards each of us, okay? So that's really, this right here is Trinitarian mercy right here. Creative mercy, God the Father, how is he merciful to mankind? God the Father lovingly came down into our nothingness. We did not exist. We had no existence. I would have referred to this nothingness as misery. Misery is a lack of goodness, a lack of being, a lack of truth. Well, if you have no existence, that's complete lack of being, complete lack of anything. So he came down into our nothingness and he made, you know, he used earth. He started with something and he made something else. He made man, and then from man, he made woman. Okay, so he came down to make man. He came down to bring being where there was no being. Okay, he did that for man and for woman. So that raises us up to being creatures, from nothingness to creatureliness. Okay, so that's God's mercy. We all know about redemptive mercy. God the Son taking on flesh. God the Son lovingly took on flesh and died. That's his motion downward. He came down to earth. And he rose from the dead, ascended, and draws all people to himself. Okay, so he redeems man. God the Holy Spirit lovingly came down on Pentecost Sunday. The new Pentecost, not the Old Testament Pentecost, even though it happened on the Old Testament Pentecost, on that feast day, the Jewish feast day. He came down and he sanctifies man. He raises man up to heaven. The more grace we get, the closer we get to heaven. Forget this for now. This belongs over there. Okay, so that's the Trinity. This is divine mercy in general, okay? God the Father's mercy, God the Son's mercy, God the Holy Spirit's mercy. Divine mercy right here. Now we're gonna take a closer look at redemptive mercy. This is Roman numeral 1C, and I'm gonna bring that over here. Jesus's spiritual works of mercy. The seven spiritual works of mercy. You can tell of the seven which one I emphasize. I emphasize the last one, prayer. That I'm giving this one the most attention. You can give more attention to any one of these you want to. okay? Your exam, if you want to focus on this one or on this one, anyone you want to, you can do that, okay? All right, Jesus' 3-year public ministry. During his 3 years from age 30 to 33, he did these 7 works of mercy. People saw it or heard it. Okay, so John chapter 17, Jesus is in the upper room with his apostles. He's been talking to them, but in chapter 17, he's talking to his Father in heaven, and he's mentioned that he has taught his apostles everything that, you know, you, Father, have given me to teach. Everything you gave me, I gave to the apostles. Okay? That's the spiritual work of mercy. And then when Jesus was arrested, the following chapter, one of the few things he said when he was arrested, basically he didn't say anything, but what he did say, I taught every day. I taught either in the temple or in synagogues or other places. Every day. This was Jesus's primary work, to teach. He was called Rabbi for a good reason. He lived up to the title. He probably taught more than the other rabbis, the other teachers. Okay. Now, Jesus taught on the cross, more by example than words. He said what's called the 7 last words. Okay, now look at the star. That means we got to look over here. The 7 last words. I didn't have room to put this over there, but I had room to put it over here. So that's where I put it. The 7 last words, here's word number 1. This is not necessarily in order. This is how I remembered it. I didn't check it out in the Bible. I didn't have time. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And he was looking at St. John, the teenager, the youngest apostle. He was looking at his mother, Mary. He said to John, behold your mother. He said to his mother, behold your son. Okay. Another word, I thirst. That's been interpreted by Mother Teresa and others as I thirst for people's love. I thirst for souls, not just, you know, thirsting for water. He was as thirsty as you can get. He had lost almost all of his blood. He had been sweating. He had no fluid inside of him. So he was very, very thirsty. He could hardly talk. Okay. So on a physical level, he said this. On a psychological and a spiritual level, he said this. To the good thief who repented, Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Jesus also quoted Psalm 22. My God, why have you abandoned me? Some people think Jesus despaired. That's not what this psalm is about. It looks like if you just read these words, it could be despair. But if you read the whole psalm, it's not a prayer of despair. Okay, there is a hope for the future, a better future, but right now it just seems really terrible, okay? Jesus is God. He could never be abandoned by God. He always is God. He's the second divine person. He's a divine person. There's no possible way he could not be God. Okay? My God, why have you abandoned me? That's said out of emotion. That's said out of just experiencing the greatest misery possible on all levels. All levels, okay? The greatest misery you can have without sinning. Right? Just before he died, he said what supposedly the priests say on Passover once they've slaughtered the Passover lamb. It is finished. I can't back it up. There's a Norbertine, probably the number one Norbertine teacher in the United States. He wrote a book, and in that book, he said that the Jewish priest would say this prayer once they had slaughtered the Paschal lamb. It is finished. And then Jesus' last words, it's a prayer to his Father, just like he started with this prayer to his Father. He ends with this prayer, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. That's another psalm. Jesus didn't just know the psalms, he prayed the psalms. He lived the psalms. Okay, so these are the classical, traditional seven last words. So he was teaching us those words on the cross. Jesus counseled Thomas, not so much with words. He just said, you know, look, to feel my wounds. It was to alleviate Thomas's doubt. He didn't say no, Jesus didn't rise. He didn't say yes, Jesus rose. He's basically saying, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Okay. That's a sin against faith. That's, like I said, faith is the third greatest gift. So any sin against faith is among the third worst. Jesus alleviated his doubt. He took it away. So that's a work of counsel. Counsel, okay. Consoling. Jesus consoled a lot of people. The good people, huh? The repentant people. One example, one of many examples of Jesus consoling is at the beginning of his ministry when he's teaching. He's on the sermon, he's giving the Sermon on the Mount. And all the things that he said, that would be consoling for someone that's living what Jesus said, like living the Beatitudes. That's, you know, hearing the Beatitudes, that's consoling if you're living the Beatitudes. It's not consoling if you're not living the Beatitudes. Insofar as people were not living what Jesus was teaching, that would be an affliction. Jesus came to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted. Right? Jesus consoled a good thief. This day you will be with me in paradise. The clearest example of Jesus correcting, even though it didn't do any good, while he did it, Jesus chastised the scribes, the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, particularly in Matthew chapter 23. This is where it gets the hottest. He gives us sevenfold woes. Woe to you, scribes. Woe to you, Pharisees. You hypocrites, you denizens. You whitewash tombs. You this, you that. And Jesus just lets them have it. That happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus would do exactly the same thing if he was here in our day and age. He would chew out our Pope, our bishops, us priests. I would be part of it. You know, woe to you. And at the time, It just went in one ear and out the other. They put him to death. They didn't receive the correction. It was only later after he rose, a lot of the Pharisees became Christian, okay? But not during, only after, maybe months or I don't know how long after. Jesus corrected those who were with him in the agony in the garden. Could you not pray an hour with me? They all fell asleep. They had a big meal. It was, you know, quiet and calm, you know, in the garden, and they were tired. They just all went to sleep. Jesus is praying and they're all sleeping. They don't have a clue what's going to happen to them. They just taking it easy. Jesus is sweating blood. Could you not pray an hour with me? Okay, that's a correction. I'm using this term in a broad sense. In the common everyday meaning, to forgive other people. Jesus did that all 33 years on earth. He just kept loving us. Past, present, future people, you know, he just kept on loving mankind. He never stopped loving. Unconditional love, whether people change, whether they were sorry or not, whether they lived in denial or not, he just keeps on loving. Okay, he also forgave sins, not just people, but people's sins. He did that with the paralytic man. And the people marveled that God had given this power to men, not just Jesus. Well, he did give it to men after he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, the only Easter sacrament. Okay, those sins you take away are taken away. Those sins you do not take away are not taken away. He gave the church the power to take away sins. Okay, so the apostles had that power. When they prayed over people, they got that power. When those bishops prayed over people, they got that power. You know, making them priests and bishops. And it's been passed down for 2,000 years. That's how I got the power, through a bishop who got it from a bishop all the way back to the apostles. Jesus showed forgiveness on the cross when he said, the first thing he said, his first word, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He couldn't have said that unless he himself forgave the people that were killing them. Jesus bore the evils of the world. All 33 years, most of it hidden, unseen. The first 30 years on earth, no one talks about it except for his cute little birth. Okay, but after that, forget it. It seems boring, too basic. We just want to get into the public ministry. But Jesus was doing a spiritual work of mercy just by breathing. He was bearing with the evils of the world, all kinds of evils. The physical evils, the psychological evils, the spiritual evils of the world, he was carrying that inside. He was the man of sorrows, more than Jeremiah. And it's expressed just before Holy Week, just before his passion. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, long have I wanted to gather you together like a hen gathering her chicks, but you would not listen. You rejected the Messiah. Okay. What's this? Jesus 4. I can't remember what this is. But I know Isaiah prophesied this would happen. that the suffering servant, Jesus, would bear the sins of the world. So I can't remember what this is saying, but this has to do with this, okay? This is what happened on the cross. Okay, our last spiritual work of mercy, praying. Jesus prayed all 33 years on earth, just like he bore with the evils of the world all 33 years on earth, just as he forgave people's sins all 33 years on earth. Okay. And you see this best in Luke's gospel account. All these quotes are from Luke. Examples of Jesus praying. He prayed before his baptism. He prayed often. He prayed before he chose the apostles. He prayed before he called Simon Kepha, before he put him in charge of the church. He prayed before the transfiguration. He prayed before he gave us the Our Father, before he taught people how to pray. He prayed at the Last Supper, John chapter 17. He prayed on the cross. Huh? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Jesus' crucifixion was a prayer. Okay. Any questions about these two boards? Any questions about Roman numeral number one, number two, divine mercy? Before we get into angelic mercy. You can probably see this board a little better because it's a little closer to you. Okay, remember what mercy is. The angels, the good angels, were merciful. They love. Mercy is love bending down, coming down from heaven to humans in their misery. You see that in Psalm 91. In regards to the guardian angels. And the angels lift holy people all the way up to heaven. They did this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, with Lazarus. They carried him to the limbo of the fathers. And in Jesus telling us that when people die, the holy angels take them up to heaven. The holy angels take the holy ones up to heaven. Okay? So they come down to earth and they take people up to heaven. That's mercy. They do that with love. They see the misery of others and they help alleviate that misery. Angels we know by name, the three archangels. We know of St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, St. Michael. They did works of mercy. Saint Raphael, you can read about it in the book of Tobit. He successfully guides his, he guides Tobias, young Tobias, on his journey to find a wife, Sarah, and retrieve the money, the family inheritance left there by his dad, Tobit. St. Raphael shows Tobias how to heal his father Tobit physically. His father was blind through a freak accident, one in a million. This does not happen every day. And healing his future wife, Sarah, spiritually. Something else that doesn't happen every day. She wanted to get married, but each of her husbands was killed by demons right after their marriage. So St. Raphael showed Tobias how to heal his father and his wife. St. Gabriel, he's already active in the Old Testament, just like St. Raphael was, interpreting a vision that Daniel had, the prophet. Okay, one of the four major prophets. And a chapter after this one, chapter 9, explains Daniel's prophecy. Another one, huh? So interprets a vision and explains a prophecy within two chapters, chapters 8 and 9. He, in the New Testament, he foretells the birth of St. John the Baptist. And right after that, he announced Christ's birth to Mary, Luke chapter 1. St. Michael assisted Daniel, just like St. Gabriel did. These two guardian angels assisted Daniel. This is the following chapter. You got 8, 9, and 10. And St. Michael guards all of Israel, the people of Israel. Daniel chapter 12. So 8, 9, 10, and 12, you have Gabriel and St. Michael. Okay. Showing works of mercy. So those are the angels we know by name. And these are angels whose names we don't know. Usually they're called the angel of the Lord. An angel protected Jacob from all harm. An angel accompanied Moses and the Israelites on their journey, the beginning of their journey at the Red Sea and towards the end of their journey at Canaan. But throughout their journey, the angels were instrumental in the Israelites reaching their goal, okay, Israel. An angel assisted in the birth of Samson. An angel assisted Elijah on his journey to Mount Horeb by providing food for him and telling him to leave right away. He assisted King Hezekiah, one of the last Jewish kings. He assisted him in killing 185,000 Assyrians, one of the worst enemies of the Jews. So that's the Old Testament. Well, A through E is the Old Testament. And then F, G, H, I are New Testament. The first three are Acts of the Apostles, going in order, Acts chapter 5, chapter 12, chapter 27, and this is the last book of the Bible. Okay, so an angel freed the apostles from prison. An angel freed Peter from prison. And this angel assisted St. Paul. He mentions that at the end of the Acts of the Apostles. An angel made known revelations to John that make up the book of Revelation. You could also call it Revelations, a whole series of revelations that John received through an angel. Okay? So we wouldn't have the book of Revelation if it wasn't for an angel. So these are examples, not exclusive examples, but main examples of angels interceding, participating in God's work of mercy to help us get to heaven. Okay? We don't usually think this way. We think of God being merciful, you know, divine mercy. We think of ourselves as being called to participate in God's mercy, but we don't realize the angels are doing greater works of mercy than we do. Okay? So they should be included in the work of mercy. It's not just God and man, but also the angels. Okay, any questions about any of the three boards? We're done. We finished in less than an hour. How did that happen? Miracles never cease. Okay, so I'll ask you what you learned. And this will be the last time I'm going to ask you what you learned. This will be your last impression on Father Francis before the exam. Your last opportunity to look good and tell me what you learned from class. I'm going to go in the order that I see you on the screen. Okay? That's how I'm going to go. And then after you've told me what you learned, you're free to go. Okay? So, here we go. Rachel, you're the first on the screen. So, tell me what you learned, Rachel.
This week I learned that if man had never sinned, then God's mercy would only include preservance. It would not include deliverance. I also learned that a chamron is a guardian, and I also did some research, and I found that the story of Daniel being preserved from the lions in Daniel chapter 6 is a story of preservance.
Preservation, right? Preservation. Those are examples of preservation. Okay, and then you said preservance earlier. I don't know. Is that a word? I know preservation is a word. So check that out, okay? But good, good.
Thank you, goodbye.
Welcome. Next are the Bear Brothers. Joseph, tell me what you learned.
Father, last week I learned that preserving is when you are preserved from sin. Like you are kept from doing certain sins, and most people can live their entire life without committing a certain sin because they're preserved from it.
Okay. Peter, what did you learn?
Father Francis, last week, Father Francis, a good example of both deliverance and preservance is Jesus and the woman who's about to be stoned. He preserved her from her sin by forgiving her sins and delivered her from suffering by being stoned.
You got that in reverse, right? Yes. He delivered her from her sins and he preserved her from being stoned, right?
Yes, Father Francis. And
is that what you meant to say?
Yes, Father Francis.
Okay.
A good example of deliverance is Jesus and the leper. I think it's a good example of preservance that Jesus preserved the leper from further suffering and death.
No, he delivered him from his leprosy. Okay.
Yes,
okay, thinking too hard here or something. All right, Chris Kapp, what did you learn?
I learned that on Pentecost Sunday, the dove came above the apostles, which means the Holy Spirit, and our Blessed Virgin Mary was preserved from sin, spiritual and psychological. And also I learned that Jesus died on a cross to preserve us from hell, and including purgatory.
Some of this you already knew, right? You already knew the Holy Spirit came down on the apostles, right? You knew that. When you're talking about Our Lady, she was preserved from sin spiritually and psychologically. I don't get that. She was preserved from sin. That's something spiritual, but how would that be psychological? Sin is something spiritual, right?
Yes.
So I don't know what you're talking about by throwing in psychological. Okay, I think you can leave the psychological part out.
Okay.
Right. Okay, Julie, nope, I'm going in order here. Annalise, what did you learn?
Last week, I learned that to preserve means relieving misery from a person before he experiences it. And I also learned that for 13,000 years, no one could understand this question. If Mary never sinned, how could she be saved? And even great theologians couldn't figure it out. St. Thomas Aquinas had the answer, which is preservation, but he didn't apply it to Mary. And St. John Duns Scotus solved it, and he paved the way for its definition. And in the Constitution, Ineffabilis Deus, which means ineffable God, Pope Pius IX said that Mary proclaimed the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. And I also learned that St. Therese talked about preservation in her autobiography, The Story of a Soul. She said that the preserved soul would be more grateful to God than the delivered soul. And she used the analogy of a father who was a doctor and his son to explain this. She said that the father and the son were walking along and the son tripped and he broke a limb and the father took care of him. And the son was very thankful to his father because he had saved him. Now this is deliverance. And the second part is if the father, noticing the stone, moves it away, he preserves his son from getting a broken limb. And his son, when he comes to know this, then he will love the father more. And this is preservation.
I am very impressed. Did you get all that just from listening to the class last week, or did you go find that page in Story of the Soul and just reread it again? How did you remember all
this? I did read the story, Father, in her autobiography, because I just started reading that book, so I went to go look for that page, and then I found the place where Pope Pius IX proclaimed the dogma of the Immaculate Conception.
I noticed that too. Very good. I think you got a happy face for practically every week this semester. Congratulations.
Thank you, Father.
Welcome. Claire Gomez, you're on.
Last week I learned that the tribe of Levites were the guardians of the ark in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. And in Psalm chapter 91, verse 11, it also shows how our guardian angels are constantly protecting us. And Mary was preserved from all sin. And the church is also preserved in grace from sin and in truth from error. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it shows this when Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it."
Good.
Thank you, Father.
Give me the book, chapter, verse again to the last thing you were saying.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 18.
Chapter 15.
I said 16, but I don't know. I might be wrong.
It is 16. I thought you were saying 15, but I probably misheard, right? It's 16. Chapter 16, verse 18, right?
Yes, Father.
All right. Now we're going to the Perez family. Perez. I don't see Diego. He's not here, right? But he did the homework, right?
No, he is.
Emilio,
He is here, but he's on another camera.
He's not here, right?
He is here, but he's on another screen.
Oh, there you are. Diego, you disappeared, right? Diego, what did you learn? Tell me what you learned from last class.
I learned that some ways of preserving was relieving and preserving. Those are two kinds of mercies. An example of relieving is on Pentecost when the flames were above their heads, and preserving with the burning bush when it didn't get burned up. It just remained in a decent position and what didn't get burned.
Okay. So. Let's go to Liliana. What did you learn?
In Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, is the oldest priestly blessing. God instructed Moses to have Aaron and his sons bless the people by saying, the Lord bless you and preserve you.
That's right. May the Lord bless you and keep you or preserve you, guard you. That's right. Shamar, that's it. Melina, what did you learn?
In the Our Father in Matthew 6, verse 13, we are asking God to preserve us from falling into sin.
Okay. That's my interpretation. You don't have to buy into it. It's a way of explaining a Bible, that part of the Our Father that people have a hard time explaining. All right. Good.
Hi, Father.
Hi. But I just thought of something that I wanted to say earlier, but I forgot, regarding the angels. The angels not only did works of mercy to humans, but also to Jesus as a human. Right? They were instrumental in Jesus. They were there at the, Gabriel was there at the Annunciation, and there were angels at Jesus' birth. They told the shepherds. So that's the first, two of the joyful mysteries. One of the luminous mysteries, Jesus talked about angels from time to time. They were included in his teaching. So that has to do with the second joyful mystery, I think, or the third joyful mystery, luminous mystery. And then the first sorrowful mystery, the agony in the garden, it said in Luke's gospel, all this is in Luke, okay? Luke mentions that an angel strengthened Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then the first glorious mystery, it mentions two angels at the tomb and told the women to go tell the apostles that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He's risen. Okay, so Luke, more than the other gospel writers, mentions the angels in the life of Jesus. Okay. So it's not just in the life of humans, but Jesus also as a human. I didn't explain that as well as I wanted to, but you gotta keep going. Gallardo, Abraham, tell me what you learned for today's class.
Father Francis, I learned that It is merciful to relieve
someone's misery by delivering them from present misery and preserving them from future misery. The more sins we have, the bigger our sins get. Then the more misery we're in.
The more you have, the more you can be delivered, right?
Yes.
The less sins you have, the more you're preserved. Right? I never thought that before, but I just did. Okay? Good.
I will.
Next. Yeah? You have some more to say?
And it is easier to sin. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, then our wills would have stayed strong.
Yes.
And God would only have to preserve us and not deliver us from sin.
That's right. That's right. Good. I'm glad you kept on going. Okay, next is Sarah Leach. What did you learn, Sarah?
Father Francis, I learned that the burning bush is a sign of preserving.
That's right. Yeah, one of the students mentioned that last week, right? I didn't mention it.
I did.
That was you. Okay. All right. Good, Sarah. Good job. Next, we have the Esser girls. Marianne, what did you learn?
Well, Francis, last week I learned that Mary was preserved from all sin, and some people are preserved from different kinds of sins and never commit those sins. And I also learned that the church is preserved in grace. And the word shamar means to guard, keep, observe, and preserve. And I also learned that if we never sinned, then after earthly life, we would go straight to heaven. And God's first work of mercy was preserving us from misery. And he did this through his passion. When Jesus dies on the cross, he gives us a second chance to go to heaven. And Saint Therese understood this in a deeper way. And in the story of the soul, she says, Jesus has forgiven me in advance by preserving me from the fall.
Good job. Yes. All right, Marianne. Monica, what did you learn?
I learned that Mary was preserved from all sin. I also learned that the etymology of the word preserve in Latin is preservare. And I also learned in the Old Testament, God preserved the burning bush, and this is a sign of his ability to preserve.
Good. Good, Angelica. And next, we got the Rivas family. I see one and a half of you. Okay, Rivas. Bethany, what did you learn?
That a shaman is a protector, a guardian angel, and all of us have guardian angels. Jesus is the ultimate shaman, and he protects Israelites and all people. Joseph was a preserver of the grains during the years of famine, and Joseph is a shaman of the Egyptian grain.
Good. Bethany, what does shamron mean?
Protector. A protector.
Okay, you got it. Mara, what did you learn?
I learned from Francis that in the book of Numbers, God gave Aaron a prayer. It was, may God bless you and keep you. The greater charity is the greater mercy. God is greater, the greater, is the ultimate Shamon, and he's the protector of Israel and all people. And we all have guardian angels that protect us. Guardian angels are all the Shamans. And they're supposed to... Amen.
Good job. That was well said. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Rivas, your turn.
Anyone have
Okay, you got to speak clearly so his father can hear you.
Anyone had a prayer. God, may God bless you and keep you. Please. The greatest protector of all, Jesus.
That's right. Good job, Aaron. Yes. Yeah, I love that priestly blessing. The older I get, the more I love it. Joseph Regriero, tell me what you learned.
Father Francis, I learned that preserved means to observe before. And that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the Trinity is are the only beings that have divine mercy, and also that you can be delivered from present misery or preserved from future misery.
Okay. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. Good. Santana, Andrew, tell me what you learned.
Father Francis, I learned from last week's class that in Hebrew, JR means to protect, to guard, keep watch, and that Shamar means guardian. And some examples of that word is in the Old Testament is Abel, who was a guardian of the sheep, and Joseph in Egypt, Pharaoh put him in charge of the grain, and that when Jesus instituted the Our Father, Our Father is it's a prayer of preservance, which is asking the Father to preserve us from sin, and that the Father doesn't preserve us from all things. And St. Teresa tells us this in her book, if you were not to let every bad thing happen to us, that we wouldn't love him at all. And sees his son hurt after hitting a stone, and heals him, the son will love him more than if the father were to have removed the stone from the son before he got hurt from him. That's what I learned from last week.
Whether a person would not love God, it's never happened. So I don't know. I can't see Saint saying this. We don't know. No one's ever been free of all misery. It's quite possible you can be free of all miseries and love God even more. Okay, we don't know. We don't know. But one thing you did say, Bob, maybe you'll say it right this time. What does Shamar mean?
Shamar means guardian.
No, that's Shamrod.
Shamrod.
Shamrod. Shamar means to protect. Okay?
Okay.
You did better.
Father, I learned that preserve means to keep somebody from doing something. Like if somebody's going towards like a pit or something, someone can come and stand in front of them or put a sign up or redirect them so that they don't fall in. And preserve Saint Teresa, she said that if a physician's son is going towards a stone and he falls, he'll love him more than if he moves the stone out of the way before the child sees it. He'll love him more, but even if he, when he finds out that he moved the stone before the child fell, he'll love him. He'll love him even more.
Yeah, if he didn't know the stone was moved, he's not gonna love God for that. He doesn't know. You can only love what you know. But once he does know, then he can love.
Right.
Okay, Sophia. Let's get Sophia in here. Tell me what you learned.
Father Francis, what I learned from last week is that there are three kinds of mercy. There's the divine, the angelic, and the human. I also learned that God sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles, including Mary Magdalene and the Blessed Virgin Mary, to preserve them. I also learned that that the Virgin Mary was preserved from sin. And that Jesus died on the cross to preserve us from hell. And that's it.
Good. That was good. And now, Claire, tell me what you learned.
I learned that angels are a preserver, and God sent the angels, our guardian angels, to preserve us. And it says in Psalm 91:11, for he will give his angels charge of you in all your ways.
That's right. To guard you in all your ways. That's right. Good job, Claire. Good job. Emiliana.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. Liliana.
Okay, so for this week, Father, I learned that there's two kinds of relieving misery. One, to relieve the misery which is in the present, that would be to deliver the person. Two, to relieve someone from future misery, that would be to preserve the person. A good example of both of these regards quicksand. So one, a person goes into the quicksand, doesn't know it's quicksand, and they're sinking, and another person comes and reaches down and pulls them out of the quicksand. That would be deliverance. Another example, right. A person is heading towards the quicksand, but a different person comes and redirects them, puts them on a different path, or puts a sign up. That letting them know that there's quicksand nearby. That's preservance. I also learned that the word preserve comes from the Latin word preservare. Pray means before, observare, which is to observe beforehand. I also learned that the Hebrew word shamar means to guard, keep, observe, or preserve. And I also learned that the word shamron means guardian. And then I also learned that Saint Michael is the guardian of the people of God. It says this in Exodus and Daniel. And I also learned that in the story of the soul, Saint Therese talks about being preserved when she says, Jesus has forgiven me in advance by preventing me from falling. And that's all that I learned.
That was good, Emiliana. Yes.
Thank you, Father Francis. Bye.
Now the Aquinos. Gianna, what did you learn?
So Father Francis, I learned that the burning bush was a sign of God's preserving. Another thing I learned is that because of Adam and Eve, we have lost some of our freedom.
Well, there's something off that we're not able to hear clearly, which is not you.
Can you hear me now, Father?
Why don't you say it again?
Okay, so I learned that the burning bush was a sign of God's preserving. Another thing I learned is that we have lost some of our freedom because of Adam and Eve.
Okay, that's true. And okay. I can hear perfectly clear.
Okay.
Justice, then, what did you learn?
Father, Justice is in another class, but he did do the homework. He's just in another class right now.
Okay. Jedediah, what did you learn?
Father Francis, I learned that charity bending down to misery and relieving it.
Okay. We had that before, right? But you weren't in my class when I taught that years ago. And I said it again, and now you're getting it. Good. And then Jonah. Tell me what you learned, Jonah.
I learned that charity is the highest level of love.
You learned that charity what?
Is the highest level of love.
The highest level of love. Okay. Good.
Thank you, Father Francis. Bye.
Bye now. There's only a few left. We have one Latham girl. The other has left. Is this Julia?
Or yes, Rebecca? Francis. Julia.
You're Julia. Okay, what did you learn?
I learned that in the Old Testament, Abel was a preserver of sheep, Joseph of grain, the tribe of the Levites of the ark, the angels of the tree of life, Saint Michael of the people of God, your guardian angel is the shaman of you, and God is the shaman of shamans. I also learned that God preserved Adam and Eve from misery, the church from error, and Mary from sin. I learned that preserver is Shamran and preserver is Shamar in Hebrew.
Uh-huh. That's a lot. That was very good.
Thank you, Father Francis.
Welcome. Is Rebecca there too, or she's gone?
She's gone. She didn't do the homework.
Okay. Okay. Mary Grace Adams, you're on.
Bye, Father.
Bye now.
Last week, I learned that there are three kinds of mercy. There's divine mercy, angelic mercy, and human mercy. And that the burning bush is an instance of preservation because even though the bush was on fire, it didn't deteriorate because God preserved it. And Jesus died on the cross to preserve us from hell. And divine love is the greatest kind of love because this is the love that God shares with us. And deliverance is another way of receiving someone from their misery. And Jesus gave us the Our Father in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And in the verse of the Our Father, lead us not into temptation, we are asking God to preserve us from evil. When God created Adam and Eve out of love, he preserved them from physical misery, spiritual misery, and psychological misery.
Good job. And I've said it a few times now, but just to make sure that you know that lead us not into temptation. That me saying that has to do with asking God to preserve us from sin. That's my opinion. Okay, that's not necessarily a church teaching, a church interpretation. It's how I see it now. Okay.
Okay, good. Father. Thank you. See you next.
Yeah, Mary Grace, and the last person who I can see on the screen. There's other names up here, but the only person I can see right now is Joseph Weil. You're on, Joseph.
Hello, Father Francis. I learned that God actually did a work of mercy by creating all of us. I also learned that the Hebrew word shamar means to guard. Shamar means to guard, keep, and shamron means guardian. I also learned that the Latin word preservare means to preserve, and observare means to observe.
Very good, Joseph. Congratulations. Okay. Now there's other names on the screen, like Garrison, but I don't see a face. Okay. I see other faces like Annalise and Chris. Before I was dog. Was that your dog, Chris? Was that your dog? He's not gonna tell us. Oh, hey, Garrison and his brother, Gianluca. This is the first time I've seen the two of you. I don't know what to say. Do you have anything to say to me? Garrison, you're on.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
All right. I didn't do the homework, Father Francis, but last week I learned that the burning bush was a symbol of preservation, and that was pretty much it. Can I go with you?
What I learned last week was that Jesus told a parable about a father and a son, that the son tripped on the stone. But when the son tripped on the stone and hurt himself, and the father helped him. But the father, when he seen the stone, went over with nobody seeing him and took the stone away, which the son would like his father less, because he didn't know that his father would help him, did help him.
That's not a parable.
Yeah.
Never told us. That's a story from Saint Therese in her book, The Story of a Soul. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not a parable, it's a story that she made up to tell us about mercy. All right?
Okay.
So now that's clear. So everybody's been able to speak. I can see a name up here that says Carrie. I don't have any students named Carrie. I don't see any face, so I don't know who this mystery person is. Otherwise, we've all gone. Everybody has been able to say something. Chris, are you gonna say something more?
Yeah, that was my mom. She was just listening to the recording.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. And now her name has disappeared.
Thank you, Father.
Bye,
thank you,
everybody.
Father.
Father.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah. Father.